Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to The Traveling Culturati, exploring the style and culture of travel with travel pro Javon Harley, exclusively on HUR Voices.
Well, hello there, fellow culturati. Javon Harley here, your host and travel pro, right here on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. The website, travelingculturati.com. Go ahead and check it out. Well, today our healthcare professional, Yolanda Como, is here with us to give us information and tips on avoiding sun exposure and staying healthy in the summer sun. Summer is right around the corner. We've also got Javon's Travel Minute, the question of the week, and the culture report. But right now, we've got some travel news. Are the airlines with the most hidden fees? Well, let's first talk about these fees. Airline ancillary fees revenue has been defined as revenue beyond the sale of tickets that are generated by direct sales to passengers or indirectly as a part of the travel experience. It's what we laymen call booking fees, luggage fees, and all those other fees for optional services. And just to jog your memory, American Airlines was the first legacy carrier to charge for a checked bag in May of 2008. But Allegiant Airlines and Spirit Airlines began charging in 2007. Now, nearly 10 years and many fees later, it's common practice. But which airlines charge the most hidden fees? Active Times blogger for Huffington Post compiled a list. Allegiant Air is the most egregious, an American low-cost airline that operates charter and scheduled flights. The charge for checked baggage fees between $20 and $50. Carry-on baggage between $14 and $45. Overweight baggage between 40 and 70 pounds, they charge $50. And between 71 and 100 pounds over, well, you're going to pay $75. Spirit Airlines comes in second. Yes, second. They're another low-cost airline in America, and they may have great deluxe leather seats and claim that they take customers to destinations without any extras. Well, I don't know what they mean by that, because they seem to charge a whole lot of extras. They charge for overhead bin space to the tune of $25 to $30 if you're a member of their Fair Club, $35 to $40 for non-members if checked online, and $50 to $100 if checked in at the gate. Their first checked bag fee is $25 for Fair Club members and $30 to $35 for non-members during online checkout, and $100 if checked at the gate. The charge for a second checked bag, $30 to $35 for Fair Club members, $40 to $45 for non-members, and overweight or oversized bags are charged $25 for over 41 pounds and $50 for over 50 pounds. If you want extra leg room, well, that'll cost you too, $12 to $199. And if you're traveling with pets, yeah, you're going to pay $100 for those fuzzy friends. Talking about legacy carriers and going back to that first airline that started charging for bag fees, American Airlines. They also have a variety of hidden fees that add up. The charge for first checked bags, $25. For the second checked bag, $35. The charge for third checked bags is $150. And if your bag's overweight, you're going to pay $100. That's for bags weighing more than 51 pounds. You're going to pay $200 for baggage weighing over 71 pounds. Oversized baggage between $150 and $200. Sports equipment, fees apply for that too. Traveling with pets, you're going to pay $125. Priority seating, anywhere from $9 to $45. Same day, flight change, $75 to $150. Unless, of course, you qualify for other exceptions, and you'll probably have to pay for that too. Unaccompanied minors, you're going to pay $150 plus taxes. And if you want to have a meal in flight, it's $2 to $10. In-flight alcoholic beverages, between $7 and $16. Earbuds, $5. In-seat entertainment, up to $8. And wireless entertainment, up to $7. Alaska Airlines, another low-cost carrier, Well, it's also the seventh largest U.S. airline based on passenger traffic and is one of the most popular on the U.S. West Coast. They charge for first and second checked bags $25. Overweight, oversized bags $75 for baggage weighing more than 51 pounds. For food in flight, you're going to pay $6 to $8 for those meals and snacks. And if you're traveling with a pet, it's $100 per seat. Preferred plus seats, anywhere from $15 to $50. If you want to call the airline for ticketing, there's a fee of $15. Paper itinerary, there's a mail-in fee for $5. And in-flight alcoholic beverages, $6 to $7. In-flight Wi-Fi, $1.95 to $40. And that's based on the length of the flight. In-flight entertainment will cost you $2, $8 to $10. And left on board items, if you want them returned to you, that's going to cost you $20. Well, let's talk about the least egregious of this list, and that is United Airlines. They're the least of the worst. First checked bag is $25, second checked bag $35, additional bags $100 each, up to $200 on some international routes, and oversized or overweight luggage is $100 for bags weighing more than 51 pounds. Traveling with pets, $125, and non-refundable ticketed change fees of $200. Just know that low-cost airfare may cost you in the end. A new traveler's survey has revealed that the number one mood booster is travel. This new survey is called the Traveler's Sweet Spot, and it revealed that more than half of Americans say travel improves their mood even more than exercising or shopping. The survey found that 38% of men and 34% of women thought romantic getaways to be mood boosting. 33% of all respondents say family visits boost their mood the most, followed by trips with close friends. 91% are traveling to see family and friends, most often when celebrating an event or occasion, like a wedding, baby shower, or reunion. The survey also found that while people wouldn't reject the idea of an extended vacation, more time wasn't needed to be satisfying. 4 out of 5 Americans would rather take multiple short getaways than one long vacation. 44% would like to take 3 to 4 trips this year to be happier, while nearly 10% would like to take 7 or more trips in 2016. The independent survey results link closely to travel activity among Priceline.com customers. Approximately half of them, 51%, are booking short-term getaways, and 34% have taken 5 or more trips in the past year. Bridget Zimmerman, Senior Vice President of Air and Vacation Packages for Priceline.com, says that research tells us that 44% of Americans frequently regret not being able to go on more trips, and the majority are not booking these trips due to travel costs. Delta Airlines flight attendant was charged with stealing nearly 1,500 mini liquor bottles. What was she doing with all of those? Well, listen up. Prosecutors say the Delta Airlines flight attendant has been charged with not only stealing nearly 1,500 mini bottles of liquor from her job, but also selling them online. The Shelby County District Attorney's Office said that 28-year-old Rachel Trevor has been indicted on charges including theft, unlawful sale of alcohol, and unauthorized transportation of alcohol. Tennessee Alcoholic Beverage Commission investigators say Trevor would put the small bottles of liquor in her bag after a flight, then post the bottles for sale on Craigslist. Investigators said the bottles typically sell for $8 on flights, but Trevor was selling them for $1 a piece. Come on now, $1? All I ask is why. Cuba flights have been approved. The U.S. just approved 6 airlines to begin flying to Cuba. The approved carriers are American Airlines, Frontier, JetBlue Airways, Silver Airways, Southwest Airlines, and Sun Country Airlines. Starting this fall, those airlines may begin offering flights between Cuba and the United States and the U.S. cities of Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Chicago, Philadelphia, and Minneapolis-St. Paul. In addition to Havana, 9 Cuban cities will accept U.S. flights. The new arrangement allows up to 20 flights between the U.S. and Havana every day, as well as 10 additional trips between the U.S. and each of Cuba's 9 other airports. In total, 110 daily round-trip flights are authorized between the U.S. and Cuba. U.S. passengers wishing to visit Cuba will need to fall under one of 12 authorized categories, like family visits, official business, or journalistic activities, and restrictions on tourism will still apply. Royal Caribbean revamps Adventure of the Seas. Royal Caribbean has announced plans for a $61 million overhaul of the Adventure of the Seas. It's reportedly the most it's ever spent to upgrade a vessel. Renovations are scheduled to start in October. Unveiled in 2001, Adventure was one of the largest cruise ships in the world at the time, but has been surpassed in size over the past decade by nearly 24 newer vessels. The 15-year-old ship will get updates similar to newer Royal Caribbean vessels. The upgrades will include the Cyclone and Typhoon, those dual racer water slides, a Flow Rider surf simulator, and Splash Away Bay, a children's aqua park. The makeover will also include 2 new dining options that currently exist on other Royal Caribbean ships, and Bolero's Latin Lounge, a Latin-themed night spot. A big part of the overhaul will be the addition of 100 more cabins, boosting the ship's current passenger capacity. The line also plans to add a new lounge for passengers staying in suites. United Airlines has a new business class model. In development for 2 years, United Airlines is unveiling Polaris, its new business class product that is keeping up with the Joneses. That is, other international business class products now available on many European, Middle East, and Asian-based carriers. Polaris comes with new lie-flat beds, bedding from Saks Fifth Avenue, upgraded amenity kits, and new menus and service utensils. United is also announcing its new coffee from Italian company Ely. Are we finally getting some decent coffee on flights? The Italian brew is already available in United Club Airport lounges and will be served up on United's entire fleet on July 1st with new brewing equipment to boot. Well, that's it for travel news today, and when we come back, we'll have Javon's Travel Minute, Yolanda Como with Staying Healthy in the Summer Sun, and the question of the week. So don't go anywhere. I'm Javon Harley with the Traveling Culturati, exclusively on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. Welcome back to the Traveling Culturati. I'm your host and travel pro, Javon Harley. Traveling Culturati is all about the style and culture of travel. And all you have to do is visit our website, travelingculturati.com, to see what we're up to and to be a part of the fun.
And now, Javon's Travel Minute.
Now, how would you like to get your hands on Muhammad Ali's passport? Well, you can, but only if you can afford it. Muhammad Ali passed away on June 3rd at the age of 74. His passport recently went on sale in New York at Bonhams, the British auction house, and is expected to go for $25,000 to $35,000. The passport was a temporary travel document and was issued by the American Consulate in Dublin, Ireland, on July 19, 1972, replacing a lost or stolen passport. And on that day, Ali defeated Alvin Lewis in an 11-round battle at Croke Park. Ali's passport was extended on September 14, 1972 to July 1977. The passport has stamps from destinations around the world, including London, Cairo, and Beirut, among others. What a great piece of history from a world traveler and the greatest boxer of all time. This is Javon, and that was your Travel Minute. Well, here comes the sun. Summertime, fun in the sun, summer vacation, and all that jazz. Now, while sun can be beneficial, after all, it helps us in producing vitamin D and a sunny disposition and well-being, overexposure to the sun and UV radiation is very dangerous. So today, Yolanda Como, our healthcare professional, is in with information to help us to stay safe and protect ourselves against sun exposure. Hello, Yolanda, and welcome back.
Hey, Javon. I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, now summer is here. And
yes.
We have to say that sun exposure or overexposure can occur at any time of the year, but summer months we are out more. We're enjoying those backyard barbecues. We are going to summer festivals. We're going on summer vacation, and we're outdoors a lot more than we are during other times of the year. And so this is a great topic as summer is right around the corner. Now, what is sun exposure, or should I say overexposure or too much exposure?
Well, first I would like to say, as you just mentioned, we can be affected by the sun at any time of the year. Anyone also can be affected by sun. It doesn't matter if you're dark-complected or light-complected. I want to say that first. But sun exposure is caused by UV rays. I know that's probably like scientific to some people, but ultraviolet rates.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the particular ultraviolet rate, we have to protect ourselves from that because that can cause a lot of harm to us in our skin and can cause a lot of illnesses to an individual.
Yeah, now I'm going to go out on a limb here and ask a question because as a child, we were outside all the time, and I don't remember putting anything on. Or sometimes we would put on baby oil and go outside, and we didn't seem to have the same problems. It seems like it's increasing. So is there a difference between yesterday, years ago, and today, or were we just ignorant then?
Well, probably both. But I think it has everything to do with how we're trashing the environment.
So that ozone.
The ozone, yeah. And it's allowing, we're not, the earth is not protected against the rays as it once was.
Yeah, and I have a theory, too. I think that some of it has to do with our diet as well. I think we had healthier diets then, and we were eating things that gave us more protection against certain things.
I know I was eating quite a bit of, vegetables from the yard, fresh vegetables and fruits all the time throughout the summer. So all those are enriched with vitamins and protection, from the environment, from the sun. And
yeah, I ate fruit. I ate a lot of fruits, and I ate a lot of vegetables too. I think we didn't have as many of these fast food options, and we didn't have as many of these prepared food options. I remember going out to this and just growing wild in the field. My sister and I would go out and pick blackberries.
Okay.
And before it was fashionable, pomegranates. We
right.
used to go to the store and peel them and bang the seeds out and eat pomegranate. But yeah, those were our snacks.
Yes,
so yeah, let's get back to those kind of basics so that we can get those.
Need to be very careful.
Depending on what medications you're on, then, so you're saying read that label or ask your doctor or your pharmacist about sun exposure and medications because you may need to take extra precaution.
Well, usually on the prescription that they, when you get receive your prescription, there's a long list of information on there. And a lot of times they would mention on there about sun exposure, keep away from light, and is very heat sensitive or light sensitive. So you just want to, particularly now, you want to be careful. You don't want to put medication in the windowsill with the sun beaming through.
Right. That and grapefruit is always on that list.
Always. Yeah.
Grapefruit's always on that list, but definitely look for that sun exposure too. Now, how can you become overexposed? Because I do like a little sun, and I'll be honest with you, I do feel a lot better when I'm in the sun. So how do we draw that line, or how are we more aware about what is good sun or enough sun or that sun exposure?
So sun exposure, you're saying when you ask how can you become overexposed, overexposure is when you're in the sun for a certain period of time. without protection. So if you're in, if you are lying around in the sun or even walking around, you still can get sunburn or having some exposure to the sun. But once you are protected using different creams or ointments, that tells you how long you can be exposed before you having to